Father in heaven, we're back again. And we're thankful that we are able to continue in this series, Coming Out of the Fog. Lord, help us to come out of the fog now as we go to the screen and as we begin to open your word and as we begin to understand exactly what you would have us to do. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I want to make this statement on behalf of those who will listen to this program by way of American Christian Ministries, that they have the opportunity to request these materials in a slide format so that they can actually see it in a complement. But we will actually read each slide. Adding a visual component to the presentation allows a different format and allows you the chance to become involved. And then I get to relax my voice a little because I'm going to require you to read a little bit as we go through this, okay? This particular segment deals with why you can't wait and why we have to move into an aggressive position to step away from anything that is counter-scriptural, anything that's counter-scriptural, because the muddy waters that we will experience by tampering with deceptive practices, false theology, false teaching, will ultimately draw us away from God and will not draw us to God. You can't stand on solid ground and sinking sand at the same time. You got to get on one or the other. And that's just where we are in today's time in Earth's history. How many of you believe that? It's time for us to stand on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. The first passage that we want to consider is found in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 8 and verses 11 and 12. And the emphasis is, Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. And it deals with the issue of famine, thirst, and seeking. In Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12, listen to what the Word of God has to say. Most of us are familiar with this passage, and as soon as I begin reading it, even though I'm reading it from the New King James Version, you will understand what it's saying. It will resonate with what you have heard many times. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. So God is forecasting, choose that term, he's forecasting a time when there's a famine, a thirst, a searching for his word. And this is why the psalmist emphasizes so clearly that we must have the word hidden in our heart. We have to have the word that is locked in our mind. So now I'm going to work primarily from the screen, and I'm going to ask you periodically to do a little reading with me, okay? We evidence by the decisions we make, we evidence by the purchases we make, we evidence by the conversations we have, we evidence by the company we keep whose we are. If you wonder who you belong to as it pertains to a spiritual alignment, ask the Holy Spirit to take the scales from your eyes and look around you and see where you spend God's money, where you spend God's time, what you're doing in your life on a daily basis. This indicates how we really relate to God, how important he is in the equation of our existence. Let's read this quote here that comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 12. For you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light, finding out what acceptable to the Lord, all right, and have no what? Fellowship with the what? Unfruitful works of what? Darkness. Now, this is Paul. This is the same guy, same apostle, who wrote to Timothy about how he needed to do business with the Ephesians. But notice that in this context, he's writing directly to the Ephesians. So he's not writing to the pastor of the Ephesians. He's writing to the Ephesians. And he says, what does he say? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of what, everybody? Darkness. But rather do what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in what? In secret. Now, based upon the previous message and the first message of this series, Coming Out of the Fog, we identify how the Ephesians lived as they worshiped Artemis. So they were extremely promiscuous. They were sexually motivated. Everything that they did was corrupt and perverted, which was common in the Roman Empire. I mean, you know, we sit around talking about the Roman Empire, the great Roman Empire. They were a bunch of perverts. Okay, not only were they bloodthirsty, but they were also perverts. Now, we need to understand this, that there may be some things that they gave us that we brought into our governmental system, the Senate, and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, the world is not a standard for how we do business, for how we look at one another, for how we work with one another, for how we, more importantly, relate to God. Notice that Paul doesn't even get into the details of how the Ephesians live. He said it's shameful to even speak about what they do in secret. This is what he's talking about, what we talked about earlier, how they lived, because everything was built around the cult of Artemis. So now we understand a little bit better why Paul gives a sense of urgency to the Christian believer, okay? What you see determines your way home. What you see determines your way home. Now, what does that mean? If we feed our minds, because most of what we bring into our minds is through what we see. The more we see those things that are counter to the pure word of God, the more we become like the things that we absorb. That's, you know, by beholding, we become what? Come on, I want you to talk to me this afternoon. By beholding, we become what?
Changed.
All right? So if we are changed by what we behold, there has to be a heightened sensitivity by what we behold. Now, we have transitioned from identifying areas where we see erroneous teachings, false teachings, where we have models that are in our midst that are counter to, or counselors, better than models, counselors that are counter to the word of God. So we don't need to identify those anymore. So I don't want to go back in that as an example. What I want to now talk about is where we ought to be, where we are supposed to be, where Christ is asking us to be. And so now let's look at this quotation. There are in the world today many who close their eyes to the evidences that Christ has given to warn men of his coming. They seek to quiet all apprehension, while at the same time the signs of the end are rapidly fulfilling and the world is hastening to the time when the Son of Man shall be revealed in the clouds of heaven. Paul teaches that it is shameful to be indifferent to the signs which are to precede the second coming of Christ. Those guilty of this neglect, he calls children of the what? Night and of what? Darkness. So notice that Paul is very clear. Paul doesn't say, well, you're children of early morning, gray area. He doesn't say you're children of dusk, gray area. Do you know it's harder to drive at dusk than it is in the early morning or at night? Because dusk, everything is gray. Everything blends. And so you don't have your distinctions anymore. Well, when you have the distinctions of the day when everything is bright and the vision is clear, or night when you can shine the light and see specifically where you're going, so the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Come on, say amen. Then at the end, we need to get out of the dusk of driving. We need to move either into the day or get in the night. This is the reason why Paul draws this distinction. Either you're children of the night and darkness, or you're children of the light and of the day. So let's follow along with this quotation. All right? To those living so near the consummation, the words of Paul should come with telling force. Quote, let us who are of the day. So how many of us will identify ourselves as children of the day? Raise your hand. Children of the day. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? So we're children of the day. And Christ is the true light. So if he is the true light and we're following the true light, then we're children of the day. Amen. We're together. All right. But notice that we have this quote from Acts of the Apostles, page 259, 260, which we're reading from, where it says, let us who are of the day be what, everybody? Sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a what? Helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who did what, everybody? Who died for us, whether we wake or what? Sleep. Notice she's pulling in this emphasis that Paul is making where he says, don't worry about whether you're alive or dead, just be ready. Now, I know everybody wants to go out of here alive, but guess what? Whether you're awake or asleep, Paul says, that's not the issue. Be ready. Amen? Whether you're awake or asleep, we should do what? Live together with him. This is Acts of the Apostles, page 259 and 260. All right? Now, in the book Great Controversy, page 615, we have another quotation that deals with the volume of deception that's going on. So you may ask the question, well, Pastor, why do you continue to bring up the issue of deception? Deception increases as the time gets shorter. Okay? Remember, Jesus says that were it possible, it would deceive the very who? Okay, good. You've got that one. So it would deceive the very elect. We also know that Satan has come down to this earth with great wrath because he has but a what? Short time. All right, so let's start connecting the dots. So if he has a short time and we know that everything is accelerating, things are accelerating more and more, we just discussed how Paul addresses Timothy and says that evil men shall wax worse and what? Worse. And remember, I told you that's an oxymoron. I mean, how do evil men, which are already evil, wax worse and worse? The only way to understand that is to go back to Genesis. And when you go back to Genesis, you'll understand in the Word of God, when God speaks to the context of the days of Noah, he says that their thoughts were only evil what? Continually. Now, there's a statement that Ellen White makes in Signs of the Time, and this is a sidebar. And now that I'm free and I'm not tied to notes, so I'm going to give you some sidebars. All right. Ellen White makes this statement in the Signs of the Times, and I forget where, what specific place, but I read this extensive article where she talks about they made a science. I want you to get this now. They made a science of doing evil. She said God had to destroy them. Now, do you know what it means to make a science of doing evil? They studied how to do evil. They were so consumed with doing evil. But that's where we are today. That's where they are, where we are today in Earth's history, where everything is becoming meaner and more evil and more intense. You know, when I first started driving, I'm 53, and when I first started driving, you didn't have road rage. Come on now. Am I right about it? Huh? But now you got road rage. In fact, if somebody starts riding you on your bumper, what do? You pull over and let them go by because you don't know what they got up under the seat. Amen? Come on now. This is why. Because evil men are waxing what? Worse and worse. Let's just put it in a simple sentence. The world is out of what? Control. Now, is that really a true statement? No. Let me tell you what the world is. It's under Satan's control. That's the truth, okay? But it's out of control in the sense that it is no longer, it doesn't look anything like God created it in the very beginning. I mean, it's so far. Now let's go to the screen because this quote in Great Controversy, page 615, helps us to understand that the intensity of the deception increases. So therefore, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been to a used car lot? Okay, I hope that there's not a used car salesman in here because I'm about to make this statement, okay? But when you walk up on a used car lot, how many flags go up in your head? All of your flags. Every antenna goes up. Am I right? I mean, because your attitude is like, they're going to try to get me, and I can't trust that this car really works, and I need to take this to Cousin Bob. You know, you have all of these flags. How do I know this is the right price? You go get the blue book. You know, I mean, you do all of the things necessary because you don't trust the used car salesman, right? Am I right? All right. Well, let me say this. We live in an age now where you can't trust hardly anything, any message that is being sent to you. You know, there are people who say, well, the president lied. I got news for you. Congressmen lie, senators lie, mayors lie, governors lie, demanded to use car dealership lies, your grocer lies.
Christians
lie. You better believe it. Because it has become normative, and it's considered all part of doing what?
Business.
But listen to what Ellen White says about what happens and how we need to respond to it. So when the irrevocable decision of the sanctuary has been pronounced and the destiny of the world has been forever fixed. Now, what is she referring to there? She's talking about when Christ closes probation, or actually when the Father closes probation and Christ throws down the censer, and then he makes a statement, he that is just, let him be just still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Okay, that's the context. She says, when it's forever fixed, the inhabitants of the earth will what, everybody? Know it not. They won't know it. The forms of religion will be continued by a people from whom the Spirit of God has been finally what, everybody? Withdrawn. And the satanic zeal, listen to this now. What kind of zeal are they going to have? Satanic zeal with which the prince of evil will inspire them for the accomplishment of his malignant designs will bear the semblance of the, what, everybody? Seal of God. Seal for God. Yeah, thank you. All right, so now, once we understand that there are these deceptive movements, that this is only the culminating act. He's moving in that direction, and he is moving toward a desired end. The evidence and the conclusion. So, first of all, we need to see Jesus. We need to keep Jesus in front of us. We need Jesus to stand in front of us at all times and in every decision and in every conversation that we're engaged in. That's number one. Number two, the Holy Spirit comes into our minds with securing evidences from Scripture. The Holy Spirit communicates to us based on our willingness to fortify our minds with Scripture. If you don't study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has little or nothing to work with. Even though there are certain deposits that God has already made, he's written the law on our hearts. We know that from Scripture. But to build on that is our responsibility. God is not going to come down and tell you everything you need to do when he has left 66 books to give you all the instruction you need. The Holy Spirit complements the Word of God. He gives you a reinforcement and the confidence in Christ through obedience to fulfill what is written in the Word of God. When he comes into your life, don't ignore the evidence for change. So often, the Holy Spirit convicts us about what we have seen in Scripture, and then we don't respond. And the book of James gives us a word on that, that if we know to do good and we don't do it, it is what? It is sin. It is sin. All right? All right. So what are you waiting for? Out of the Review and Herald, November 22, 1906, paragraph 4. The signs in the sun, moon, and stars have been fulfilled. Since that time, earthquakes, tempests, tidal waves, pestilence, and famine have multiplied. The most awful destructions by fire and flood are following one another in quick succession. The terrible disasters that are taking place from week to week speak to us in earnest tones of warning, declaring that the end is near, that something great and decisive will soon of necessity take place. How many of you have noticed just the sheer onslaught of calamities and tragedies that have happened? And they are accelerating. Let me just give you one website you can go and check out some data. If you go to the National Geological Society, you can actually click on how many earthquakes are happening now or have happened recently, and they're happening concurrently. And what's interesting is that unless earthquakes reach a certain level, they're not even reporting them anymore. Why? Because they are so frequent. Just go to the National Geological Society's website, and you will see that they have graphs or just Google earthquakes or frequency of earthquakes, and you will discover that, remember Jesus said that was just one sign. That was one sign. But remember, he says, but the end is not what? Yet. The end is not yet. So even though we see these signs, it's not going to get better. It's going to what? Get worse. So the only way God's people can survive the worsening climate of this earth is to have a closer and closer relationship with Jesus Christ. The worse this world gets, the closer we need to be to Christ, who is our what? Protector. He's our friend. If you believe that, say amen. All right? We must prepare. How do we prepare? Again, Review and Herald, November 22nd, 1906, paragraph 6. Confusion fills the world, and a great terror is soon to come upon human beings. The end is very near. We who know the what, everybody, truth, should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. As a people, we must prepare the way of the Lord under the overruling guidance of the who, everybody? The Holy Spirit, all right? How do we prepare? Point number one, how do we prepare? Every individual must realize his own necessity. The heart must be emptied of every defilement and cleansed for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So in the call that Elder Wilson has so nobly and appropriately called for in revival and reformation in our church, not just in North America, but around the world, here are your steps. How do we get there? Not only do we pray for revival, but this is what the pen of inspiration, God's prophet to this church, said. Number one, every individual must realize his own, what everybody, necessity. The heart must be emptied of every what? Defilement and cleansed for the indwelling of the Spirit. Or cleansed for the indwelling Spirit. It was by the confession and forsaking of sin, by earnest prayer and consecration of themselves to God, that the early disciples prepared for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of what? Pentecost. The work only in greater degree must be done now. So notice she didn't say the same work must be done now. She says the work in what? Greater degree must be done now. Number two, only those who are living up to the light will receive what, everybody? Greater light. Now, this comes from Testimonies to Ministers, page 507. Listen to what she says as to why we have to live up to the light that we are being given. Unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the what? Latter rain. So this is the reason why elsewhere she'll say it will fall all around you and you will miss it, because you're not, and I am not, coming up to the responsibilities that are given to me. How? Daily. Daily. Day by what? Day. Okay? It may be falling on hearts all around us, but we shall not discern or receive. And she says that elsewhere. All right? Number three, get in church. Now, there's some people, because of what Adventist television has become, they feel that they can stay home and get their blessing. They really believe that. They believe, I'm going to stay at home, so-and-so's preaching, so-and-so's teaching, I'm going to stay at home and get my blessing. The Bible does not support that. I want you to hear me now, because I do television too, so I want you to hear me. The Bible says, forsake not the what, everybody? Assembling of your what? Yourselves together. If your church is not what you want it to be, get in there and make it better. Come on, say amen. Roll up your sleeves, get down on your knees, get down and dirty with God, and ask God to roll them in, roll them out, whatever takes, but fix it. Because you might not have the ability to affect the change everywhere, but start in your own house. Start in your own neighborhood. Start in, when I say your own house, the individual house of God where you're worshiping. Start there. Listen to what it says. Not forsaking, Hebrews 10, 24 and 5, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as you see the what, everybody, the day approaching. If Jesus is coming, how much more we need to assemble together, encourage one another, challenge one another. Remember what Paul said to Timothy in how to manage the situation is with the Ephesians. He said, that all scripture is given for doctrine, instruction, for reproof, for correction. So it's not just for doctrine so we can know the boundaries. We need that. But instruction, reproof, and also what? Correction. And we need to never forget that correction is a part of spiritual development. All right? The blessing in church attendance. There's a blessing. Listen to this. Testimonies to Ministers, page 508. The convocations of the church, as in camp meetings, assemblies of the home church, and all occasions where there is personal labor for what? Souls. Personal labor for what? Souls. Not sitting down and watching 3ABN. Okay? Personal labor for what? For souls. Are God's appointed opportunities for giving the early and the what? Latter rain. Please understand that when God instructed the establishment of 3ABN and the Hope Channel, it was for the propagation of the gospel, not so you could have a Sabbath off. Come on, say amen. All right, it was for people who don't know the truth. And it was a way of getting in their homes when they wouldn't answer the door when you went by and you tried to share some literature. God said, that's okay, I'm going to get in here anyhow. And this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it through television. And that's the reason why they have all of those miraculous stories about how people stumble on and watch programs that they're not supposed to even have or a network that they're not supposed to even access. Why? Because God is going to get the truth out. And this is what he says. He says, it is when we assemble ourselves together, camp meetings, convocations, even the home church, where there is personal labor for souls, these are God's appointed opportunities for giving the early and the latter rain. All right, point number four. So we've had 3 points. We're at point number four. And the fourth point of how we will move in this direction where God is asking us to go is self must be defeated. I saw, this is from Early Writings, page 71. I saw that none could share the refreshing. Now, when she uses the term the refreshing, she's speaking of the latter rain. She said, none can share in that event unless they obtain the victory over besetment, over what? Read that with me. Over what? Pride. What else? Selfishness. What else? Love of the world. And over what? Every wrong word and action. Now that becomes a difficult passage for people who don't believe that serving Christ is a call to holiness. You know, there are people in our church today who don't believe that there's a call to holiness. Christ will just accept you where you are because, you know, they've embraced the evangelical thought on that. And they believe Christ will just forgive you and move you to where he wants you to be. This and the Bible gives us clear indication that growing in Christ is a participatory process. We have a responsibility. So you got garbage in your house? Get it out. DVDs, bad literature, get it out. See, God is not going to come in your house and throw the books away. He's not going to throw the magazines away. He's not going to come down and put your television on the right channel. Come on, say amen. See, God is expecting us to participate in spiritual growth and development. And this is the reason why we have these statements. And so the way you act on your job. So what, you don't like your boss? Pray for your boss and ask the Lord to help him to be converted. Help him to be converted. You know, don't try to figure out how to get rid of your boss. Get in there and get on your knees and get your knees dirty and say, Lord, change the heart of my boss. In fact, let me invite my boss over for dinner. Let me throw some Christian love at my boss. Maybe they'll like Christian love so much they'll say, what must I do to be saved? And then I'll have a nice boss. Amen. Amen. All right, let's move on to the next one. Why we can't wait. Listen to what she says, Early Writings, page 71. Oh, how many I saw in the time of trouble without a what, everybody? Without a shelter. That's a sad, sad statement. She said, I saw so many without a shelter. They had neglected the need for what, everyone? Preparation. Therefore, they could not receive the refreshing. And what is she saying when she says refreshing? Latter rain. That all must have to fit them to live in the sight of a holy God. When we go to the rock, God is asking us to go to the rock. You know, Christ gives us clarity. It's recorded in Matthew and Luke. And in that context, he doesn't refer to himself as the rock, but he refers to himself as a stone. And he says, if you fall on the stone, you'll be what? Broken, which is a voluntary act. So you come to the stone, and then you're broken. Amen? He said, but if you don't voluntarily fall on the stone, what does he say is going to happen? One way or another, you're going to meet the stone. And so what does he say happens? He says the stone does what? Falls on us. And then the stone doesn't break us into pieces. It does what? It grinds us. What did Jesus say? Grinds us to what? To powder. We are being conditioned. There's a predictable response. Falling on the rock, Christ Jesus, is a solution to transformation according to Christ. Aside from Christ, even the elect are what, everybody? Susceptible. So we're susceptible. Jesus said that. Said if it were possible, even the elect could be deceived. He said, so he's going to cut it short in righteousness. Praise God for that. But unless we are awake, alert, preparing, following these points, we become susceptible to distractions and even to the final deception. I don't want to be deceived. How about you? Okay, I want to be faithful all the way to the end. And so therefore, I'm going to put my mind on heavenly things, spiritual things, godly things. I want to baptize my mind with Scripture. Amen? I'm going to spend time in the Word and on my knees. I want to see Jesus when he comes. How about you? I want to be ready. I don't want to be a foreigner to Jesus. I don't want him to look at me and say, depart from me, I don't know you. I want him to say, well done, thou what? Thou good and faithful servant. Father in heaven, we're so thankful to you that you have given us a wonderful word and promise that Christ will be with us to the end. You've also challenged us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to live up to the challenge and help us to move forward by faith, trusting, leaning, depending on you. And may we never forget the appropriate place of the daily study of your word. May we be able to say, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thank you, O Lord, for bringing us through another point in this series on coming out of the fog. Help us, Lord, to come out of the fog of deception and false teaching and false doctrine and stand on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. We ask it in his name, who is our Savior. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.